Praise the Lord. Let's all stand if you will. Let's go before him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are very blessed, Lord, to be here this morning. Lord, we just feel your blessings, Lord, every day we rise out of bed, Lord. Lord, long as we got our mouth open, Lord, ready to feed on your precious word and all that you have for us, Lord, we're just so appreciative. Lord, just keep our minds open this day, Lord, and Lord, just keep our hearts and our minds clear, Lord, because the hearing of the word, Lord, is more important than anything in this life, oh God, the revelation of it. Lord, we just ask you to have your way. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. We are standing on holy ground, that little chorus she's playing. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Page 33 in our Only Believe. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. Page 8 in her only capstone life books, a little one. Page 8, you are my all in all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my and seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, you give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. hearts. Hallelujah, Lord, without you we'd be nothing. Lord, we just appreciate you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So blessed to feel his presence, saints. When the God of heaven that created heaven and earth takes the time to come down and visit the hearts of his elect. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Ask Brother Amos if you come up, take the offering if you would. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we are so appreciative, Lord, of all you've done for us. Your grace and your mercy in our lives. We love and appreciate you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity once more you've given us,
yes.
Lord, to gather around your precious word with our brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you for the health and strength you've given us, Lord, to desire in our hearts to draw closer to you this day. Lord, we ask you to have your preeminence, the remainder of the service, all said and done, be for your glory and honor. Once more, we ask that you'll bless this offering. Lord, I ask it to be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Think about his love. Oh, think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. So.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning.
Yes.
We come to you, Lord, in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Believing, Lord, that you have sent us a prophet.
Amen.
And so for that, Lord, we bring our prayer request to you because he bid us to do that. And as we ask you this morning for all those that are unspoken.
Yes.
And all those things that are up on the people's heart, we ask you, Father, if you would, to answer each and every one according to your riches and glory.
Amen.
We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. I guess our sister Esther, a few girls have a song. If you want to come on up.
happy day,
happy day,
when Jesus washed,
when Jesus washed
my sins away,
my sins away.
He taught me how.
When Jesus was.
happy day. Say amen. You feel it in your heart and you see it on your face. Say amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank him for his love. Amen. As we ask our pastor to come, sing that little chorus, "Fill My Cup, Lord." Amen. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's such another grand privilege to be here, as the prophet would say, Lord, and to experience the love and mercy and grace in our hearts and lives. And Lord, the very salvation that you give to us, that Lord truly gives us joy and peace and such a solidness in an hour where there's so much, Lord, turmoil and snares and trouble and craftiness of Satan and all these things is going on. But Lord, there's peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. And we're so thankful, Lord, for all these things you've done for us. And we've gathered here again today now that you would speak to our hearts through the word. Open our hearts, Lord, that we would be receptive and help us, as our brother prayed a little bit ago, Lord, and help us not to let anything enter our minds that would take and be contrary to the word of God or try to stop you from moving into our heart, Lord. If we know that the mind is a womb to the soul, and Lord, we must keep it open and, Lord, accepting to the word of God. So we pray now thy will be done, just waiting on you now to have your preeminence in everything now as we commit ourselves unto you and your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are you happy you have salvation? Are you happy you're here? Amen. Glory to his name. I'm so thankful. My, I didn't know Sister Esther could sing like that. Amen. So she better not forget that. Amen. All righty. Praise the Lord. Just good to see you all here. And I know some of you have drove a long ways to get here and everything, but pray God will bless you and meet the need in your heart and your lives. Amen. Bless you. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew, the 18th chapter. And just going to minister a little something here. I'm glad to see Mike with us again today. My, it's what a blessing. Amen. Pray God will bless him. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Matthew 18. And let's read here the first and second verse. And then I'll have you sit down so we don't stand so long. But just in honor to his word, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And may the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Just wanted to read a little enough to get the setting started there so you can kind of think about now what he's going to say here. And saints, we realize it is being in Christ and, you know, people just call it to be a Christian today. You know, that's what we hear a lot. But you know, a Christian in true reality is a Christian, is Christ-like. You know, you're like Christ, and Christ has made his abode in you and living in you and dwelling within you. And oftentimes as people come and want to accept Christ, and as we all sit here today and have service after service and the Word of God comes forth, you know, how we've seen it over the years, how some just couldn't accept it, you know, and they just didn't feel it was for them. And maybe the Word of God had come forth and it seemed so hard to them and it was confused, you know. And I think back at that time when I was just a little child and just a little young fellow, hearing the Word of God, and when I began to start listening, I guess to say, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And I think again about how God's mercy and grace, how it was in my heart. And you know, I wanted to know God. I wanted him in my life and didn't know how it was going to happen. Didn't know anything about it really too much, but I just knew I wanted him, you know. I think probably if you'd all admit it, that's kind of the experience most of you had. You've seen that time in your life, you just wanted him, you know. You wanted to know more about him, and you wanted to be whatever he told you to be, you know. Maybe you didn't know everything exactly about it, but God made that way that he could give us the understanding, you know. And I trust today that as every one of us sit here today, we will be able to eat and feed on the Word of God. And we all sit here, many of us in different stages in life, but we still know that by God's grace we can grow in faith if we can, you know, just yield ourselves to him and say, Lord, feed me, you know, this little song, here's my cup, Lord, fill it up, amen, give me understanding your holy word, and trusting that none of us will leave here today the same person you came in. I don't care what portion of the word may be, I'm just trusting nobody will leave the same person you come in. And something will strike your heart, and maybe you're really up on top of it, you think, and all that, but maybe there's still something that will strike your heart. Oh, I need a little closer walk here, you know. I need more of Christ in me here, you know, in this situation. But let's go on and read this now and listen to what our Lord Jesus is going to say. Here he is in this setting here, and here he was asked a question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Of all questions, you know. And then Jesus calls this little child unto him and sets the child in their midst. And of all things, look what he's going to say. And said, verily I say unto you, our Lord Jesus, listen to what he's saying. Except ye be converted. Yeah, except ye be turned around, you know, and change your course of conduct and be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. And become as little children. Now think of that. And look how many adults are sitting here, you know. And look at the adults who was sitting around at that time when the Lord Jesus brought in that little child to sit in their midst and explain this to the people. He says, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think of this, and I've spoken on this before, but I just want you to think about it again this morning. As little children. You know, if you take a little child, they want to constantly learn. If you watch them, they're always inquisitive, you know, and they want to know what this is, and they want to know what that is. And you know, you've heard a little story before how a little son, you know, he ain't very big, and his daddy will be maybe walking in the snow or walking in maybe somewhere where his feet's making some tracks. And here this little boy of his is walking right behind him, and he's trying to step in them same footprints. It may be a long ways out there for him. He may have just little short legs, but he sees his daddy's footprints, and he wants to be like daddy. You know, so he takes another step, and he's just really striving to get to that step because it's awful big for him, you know. But he wants to be like daddy, you know. And so many times a lot of the boys that grow up, they want to be like daddy, and you know, it's just kind of the way things are sometimes, you know. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But yet, it's just nature, and it's just in a little child to want to be like daddy, you know. But they're always inquisitive. They want to learn. They want to know what things are. And at that age, if you tell them that corn comes out of a tree, you know, Oh, and then they go and tell their other little buddy, you know, Daddy, I asked Daddy where corn comes from, and he said it comes out of the tree, you know. He's just so accepting and so humble at it because he doesn't know and he doesn't have the attitude yet that I'm a big shot, you know. So he's got humility and he listens closely, the little child does. And they don't fight it. They don't buck it. Now, of course, the day and age we've moved into, things are a lot different with children. And sometimes children are a lot different than they should be. But nevertheless, I'll say the good old days when children was corrected like they should be and it was taught to respect and to be reverenced and being reverenced and so forth to their elders and so forth. And, you know, things was different back then. But children are growing up different now. And that's why the world's in the mess it is now. But we find here, he says, and verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now think of that. Become as that little child. Our Lord Jesus considered that person very great in the kingdom of heaven. Now someone that when you tell them what the word says and you read it to them, and then they got the attitude, I don't know about that. I don't agree with that. I can't see that. And it's about like an old goat, you know. They're a lot different than a sheep, you know. You know, a little lamb, you know, you can just lay them down and shear them, you know. But a goat, you know, is always wanting to just bang, bang, just butt heads. That's their life. That's what it consists of. Just wanting to butt something all the time. Just wanting to show their disapproval, you know. And that's the kind of way people do sometimes with the Word of God. They always got to show their disapproval. They got to show they're against it. They got to show that's not for them or that can't work and this, that, and the other. Just butting it constantly. But the Lord Jesus Christ told us to be as little sheep. Yeah. As being led to the slaughter, you know. And we realize that he's talking about this humility here. And he says, wherefore, or whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So it must be pretty important to him for a person to be humble, like a little child, and listen to the word instead of our pea-picking brains. The scripture even tells us, lean not upon our own understanding. You know, lean upon the word of God, you see. And that's what we all have to do. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, now look how important this is to him, receiveth me. Wow. Pretty important to be that way, isn't it? Be like a little child. It's with humility and want to listen and want to learn, want to know, you know. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, one of these little ones that want to learn, it wants to know, they ain't butting their head against somebody else, butting their head against the word, no. But one of these little ones. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck. Now you can see what he thinks about the one that butts. Yeah. The one that can't be like the little child. They won't listen to what the word says. But always got their own idea, their own theory, what they think it should be, you know. But you can see what he thinks about this situation. It'd be better if they just hang a millstone, had a millstone hung around their neck, and bloop, into the sea. Because that's as far as they're going to get. You know? And they were drowned in the depths of the sea. I want you to think about this, saints. Think about what our Lord Jesus Christ just said there. Such a message of simplicity. You know, that's one thing that's just so amazing about our Lord Jesus. It didn't take him 2-3 hours to say something. He could just say a few paragraphs and he hit the point every time. It's just really right on it, you know. But we think about this today and we're living in the last days. We all know that, don't we? We are living in the last days. There's no way we can try to say, no, it isn't, and this, that, and no. Everything, and it's coming out scripturally, exactly what would be fulfilled in this last days. And it's happening, you see. So we know it is the last days. And in this last days, it's just not a very good setting to be, we'll say it this way so you understand something. It's not a very good setting to be one that Jesus talks about here. You know, to be as a little child. Because we live in one of the most nodal ages that there ever was. We live in the most terrible age as far as rights. You know, everybody wants more rights. And their rights that they want anymore is usually rights to take them more into filth and corruption. You know, but they want them rights. Look back years ago when women won their rights, you always see the old picture with the woman standing there with her muscles sticking up and everything, you know. They begin to believe the word of God, you see. Because that woman wasn't in that position when the scripture is totally against it, you see. But we see we're living in that terrible last days. It's hard to find that people would be humble enough to listen to the word of God. You know, because everything they look at is just so much false or so much crazy trash going on. You know, you hear people say, well, that was on the news, but I don't believe it anyhow. You know this, because there is so much false stuff in the news and all that. But they can't believe anything. And same way with the Word of God. Because everything they look at is so fake. They see these movies going on, these killings and all this stuff going on. It's all fake anyway. So when they hear the Word, oh, it's fake. Ain't nothing to it. But there is truth in this. Because God always vindicates His word, you see. Always proves that it's right, you see. But just to read before I go to the next scripture now, I want to read the meaning of humble that was in this scripture here we spoke of. And where he says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I looked it up in the Greek and it says, to make low or bring low, or to assign a lower rank or place, to abase, to be abased, to be ranked below others who are honored or rewarded, to humble or abase myself by humbling or by a humble living, or depress one's soul or bring down one's pride, to have a modest opinion of oneself. I think that's a good one. Have a modest opinion of oneself. But you ever see an age where everybody knows everything? I'm the best, I'm the greatest, I know how to do this the best. That's all you get done here. Yeah. They don't know what humility is anymore. And when it comes to the Word of God, so the Word of God comes forth and, no, that's not what I heard when I was a kid. And that's not what my Pentecostal pastor said. That's not what my Methodist teacher said. No. Or it ain't just what I think it is. Instead of being open-hearted and humble, like a little child, and say, Lord, open my understanding. I just want to, Lord, I don't know nothing. You just tell me everything, Lord. And help me to receive what the Word says. And may it be by the Holy Spirit to do so. You see? You're in that humble, humiliated position to where God can speak to your heart. And not just push the Word off. Push it off, push it off, push it off. You see? All right? So let's go on here. So we realize, as we was talking about, it's just not a very good setting for today to be a people humble enough to listen to the Word. Unless there's predestination in your life. And Jesus Christ comes in and takes your life over. Otherwise, the setting is completely contrary to that. It's so against it. We realize this is Satan's Eden. It's the condition in the world today now, friends, is totally against what God wants to do. It's totally against it. And Apostle Paul warns us in 2 Timothy 3, if you want to read with me, 2 Timothy 3, let's go here in the first verse. And don't sit there and think, well, praise God, he's preaching my wife beside of me. He's preaching my daughter over here and or preaching grandpa. No, just open your heart and say, he's talking to me. Just for one chance, would you let the word talk to you and just not push it off and say, oh, he's talking to somebody else? Just say, Lord, open my understanding. You know, that's what's wrong with people. You know, they hear a message come forward and think, oh, that's got to be for somebody else. And this has got to be a... Why don't you just open up your heart, admit it. You ain't the big know-it-all what you think you are. We're all saved by grace, and we all don't know everything yet. We might think we do, but ain't nobody sitting there that knows everything yet. No way. Impossible. One day I trust we'll be here. But remember this. He said, what did the prophet say? That the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal himself throughout eternity. So how could we sit here today thinking, I puffed up, I know everything. I'm going to tell you what. That's when a man's done deceived himself, when he thinks he's something. That's what the scripture says. The minute you begin to think yourself you're something, you've done deceived yourself. That's when you've closed yourself off for the little nugget that might help you in your heart, might help you in your life, in your walk in life. You've closed yourself off to it. I ain't got that problem. I ain't got this problem. I've seen that down through my ministry of 30-some years, friend. That's right. But in 2 Timothy 3, first verse, this know that in the last days, now here we are, we know we're there, don't we? Absolutely. Perilous times shall come. That is troublesome, dangerous, harsh times. People that's heartless. Yeah, heartless. Don't you see so much of that today? People that's absolutely heartless. They couldn't care less if he's laying in the ditch dying. They don't care. Go right on by. You know? They don't care. That's the time we live in. You see? He says, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You ever see so many selfish people anymore? So selfish. Why? Covetousness. Love for money and gain. You see? Wanting. Boasters. That's an empty pretender. And they're lifting herself up. I this, I that, I this, I that. You know? You know? Without natural... Oh, let's back up. Boasters. Proud. Now think of that. Look at the age of people proud lives today. Blasphemers. Now think of that. In the last days, blasphemers. Let me just read something on that before we go on. Just so we make sure we know what he's saying there. Blasphemers. Let's go ahead and turn, if you'll hold your place there, and go on over with me, Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 31. And then we'll come back to that in just a minute. But I want to make sure I understand these things. All right, Matthew 12, and begin 31st verse. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, oh, think of that now, shall not be forgiven unto men. That's going on what he says. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. At that time, it would have been forgiven. It could be forgiven. But now after the Holy Ghost came, now listen. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now think of that. Blasphemy. Now I brought something with me, Brother Branham said. And he was explaining this because he was asked a question about that scripture. And Brother Branham goes on to say, because he read the question about the scripture, he said, now, brother, you're a theologian. I'm not. But I'd like to say this, that Jesus said, whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Isn't that what we just read? Absolutely. In other words, to put it with the rest of the scripture, all manner of sin shall be forgiven men, but blaspheming the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is to make fun of, talk about, ridicule, do something like that when you cross the line between right and wrong. Now think of that. Now, if you see the Holy Spirit, for instance, he says, what if the Holy Spirit would come down here and discern like it does? He's talking about in the line, discernment line and prayer line thing, and talking about the Holy Spirit discerning. What about the Holy Spirit doing something else in somebody's life? Huh? Not just discernment. He didn't stop it at that. But what if any of these other things the Holy Spirit does through somebody's life? And you think, that can't be so. And you begin to ridicule it and make fun of and talk about it and say they're crazy, they're a bunch of nonsense. When it's the Holy Ghost. Right? And what if it would be, he says, and what if it would be the Holy Ghost? What if it would be? And you didn't believe it was. And you went out and made fun of it and talked about it. He says, I don't care what you ever do. You're finished. The scripture tells us that. He's just explaining it for us so we understand it. And you cannot do that, he says. And it proves right there that you're not of God. Now think of that. Going out and making fun of what the Holy Spirit's doing. And maybe the Holy Ghost moving in somebody's life and you make fun of it. Oh my. Better look out. Because it said it proves right there you're not of God, because the seed of God remains in the man and he cannot sin. Now that's scripture. All right? And what is sin? Now listen to what he's going to say. What is sin? Unbelief. When he sees the word made manifest, he'll believe it if that seed's in there. Okay? And there's only one sin, though. Listen. There's only one sin. You say, you mean all this trash going on today, there's only one sin? Absolutely. How many knows that? That's unbelief. Unbelief's the sin. Now listen to what he says. That's right. Committing adultery is not sin. Oh, now that sounds like a crazy one if you don't know, huh? Yeah. Committing adultery is not sin. Smoking cigarettes, telling lies, swearing, that's not sin. That's all the attributes of unbelief. If we believe the Word of God, you would never do those things. You see? But because we do those things is because we unbelieve the Word. Okay? You do it because you're not a believer. That's right. See, there's only one sin, and that's unbelief. He that believeth not, that's right. Now listen, see, there's only one sin, and that's unbelief. He that believeth not is already condemned. No matter what he does or nothing, he's condemned to start with. So if you don't believe the Word of God, you're condemned. Okay? But now remember, we're living in this age and time where, oh, it's so contrary to be able to be humble to the Word of God, you know, and listen to it, and do what it says to do. It's that the whole country, the whole nation, and every nation on this world, in this world, on the earth, is set up contrary to that. You see? Okay? So let's go back. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You ever see a day like it? Friends, when no older I am, in my day, you know, 50 years ago, 55 years ago, whatever it is, when I was old enough to start getting corrected. I'm telling you, friend, when your parents said, don't do this, you didn't get another chance.
Amen.
No. Now, there wasn't none of this, now, I told you, Junior. No. Nope, none at all, friends. You got a licking that you didn't forget. And that's the trouble today. They don't get a licking. They can forget, you know. So they didn't spare the rod back then. That was the normal thing. But then as Satan began to move in heavier and heavier and putting it into schools, you turn your parents in and they paddle you. You turn them in if they do this, that, and the other. Now it's turned into nothing but Satan civilization and Satan controlling it all. Yeah. And then where did the children go? To trash. Yeah. I know it's a rude way to say it, but they went to trash. Yeah. They have no respect. They have no honor. They don't know what it is to honor people. They don't know what it is to respect people. They don't know how it is to obey their parents. Because this is the last days we live in. It's here, friends. That's right. And if you're old enough, you can see it. Now, some of these young people sitting here, they don't have a clue. They don't see where it come from to what it is now. They don't have a clue what it is. So they don't have no idea what I'm talking about. Other than just me saying it and the scripture saying these things. But the thing of it is, I'm old enough, I've seen it happen. Yeah. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. You ever see people so unthankful? And I'm just reading these things again to let you realize we are here in the last days, you know. And it's a very poor setting for somebody to be in humility to the Word of God. Unthankful, unholy. Yeah, we got preachers, we talk about Thursday night, you know, we got preachers today, you know, preaching against holiness, you know. Holiness, don't you go too far with it and you'll condemn yourself, you know. Blah, 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 you know. That's about what they are in the mouth, blah, 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 you know. But anyhow, he says here, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's why you don't see people even have a caring attitude for each other anymore. They can do spite to them and talk bad about them and do everything to try to get back at them. All there is, they don't even have a natural affection. No. That's why there's so many divorce cases. There's not even a natural affection for each other. Yeah. They get hooked because of a sex act and then it's over with. You know, and then it just keeps on decreasing all the way through because it's not true affection, not true love. All right? Without natural affection, truce breakers. Yeah, people can't keep promises anymore. What's to them to give people a word? But and give the word and not keep it. What's the big deal? That's why we should say, if the Lord will, if he should tarry, I will do this, this. Because you don't know what, maybe change something tomorrow, you know. Maybe something happened. He says, false accusers. Now think of that. Look at the false accusing going on today. My, my, my. Even amongst message-believing people, falsely accuse them. I know what I've been falsely accused of, but many of things, you see. And supposed to be high-up preachers, you know, well-renowned and fancy guys, you know. False accusers, incontinent, which is without self-control. Look how people have lost their self-control. And look what drugs is doing to people today, losing self-control. They can't control. They don't have can control their senses, can't control their mind. They've lost their self-controlness. Alcohol, all this stuff going on, they lose their self-controlness. And Satan just keeps putting more of it out there, more of it out there, more of it out there. And that wasn't good enough, so he gives us medication from the doctor. We lose our self-consciousness. We can't have self-control because of what the doctor gives us. You know. So it's just an entire mess. Fierce. See, they're mean. Yeah, very mean. There's nothing nice about them. Believe me, I work with mean men, and they wouldn't care if I died today. You know, they just wouldn't care. They're just mean, you know. It's just their life. That's their nature. That's the way they live, you know. And then the wife calls in, they're screaming on the phone at her, you know, and just cursing and everything else to them. You know, you think, just their whole lives, just nothing but me, you know, fierce. That's the days we're living in. Despisers of those that are good. If they don't hate you, they'll hate you for one reason, because you're good or do good. They'll hate you for that reason. Yeah, because then they get jealous because they can't do it or they don't have it or they can't do it the way you do it. So they just get jealous and they can't stand you because you do good. They don't like you. Traitors. Oh, my. Think of that, friends. Think maybe you've got a good friend. But just do a little something to cross them one way. They ain't your friend no more. Been so many friendships broke over the years, last few years. It's terrible, you know. They think they're friends. Your true friends is only in Christ Jesus. You see? Heady, which is a reckless and have no common sense, but live a reckless life. Just bang, 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 bang. Just reckless. Just into this, this, that, and the other. And just, you can't tell where they're going to be and what they're going to do. Yeah, reckless. High-minded, again, goes back to pride and a haughty look about them. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Ain't that the truth? Look at the people today that's missing church because of pleasures. And the scripture plainly says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together, even more so as you see a day approaching. But pleasures is more important. It's more important to be able to go do this and go do that and sit at home, watch television, this, that, and the other, watch some good movie over here, maybe go to the movie 10 and this, that, and the other. It's so much funner to do that, you know. But lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the age we live in. Yeah. Look at the churches. Think about it, saints. Look at the churches, even the denominations that has went to one service on a Sunday. Because they ain't got time for the pleasures. They'll miss the ball games. But the thousands. I'm not saying it's wrong to have only one service on Sunday. Maybe you're there. And maybe everybody's driving who knows where, you know, hours and hours away. That's a different story. But just not to have it because they want to watch their ball game. So the pastor, he just decides, well, they know by their Sunday night, I always meant I'll have a Sunday night service. It's all throughout the land, friends. You didn't used to see that. It used to be by the clock, two services at least on Sunday. Just bang, 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 everywhere you looked. Not anymore. No. Having a form of godliness. Oh, my. Having a form of godliness. You know, to give. There's an appearance there that they're trying to be a Christian, you know, and they try to hang on to the word so-called. But denying the power thereof, they're denying the authority of the power of the revelation being received, and they don't do what it says. So, oh well, Leave the word go. That's the age we're living in. Remember, this is a terrible setting to be a people, to be humbly under the word of God and be listened to it, and it tell me what to do, and I do it. It's all against that. Yeah. And then the attitude is, I ain't doing that, and ain't nobody. Then they always get the pastor involved. I ain't doing nothing nobody says when he's up there just reading the word of God. But they got to blame it on somebody, so they blame it on the pastor. Oh, this is why I'm not doing it. The pastor said we got to do this. Pastor ain't saying nothing but what that word says. Now, you might have some pastors that would say things other than that word, then that's different. But if he's only saying what that word says, then who are you accusing? Who are you blaming? Huh? You don't blame the man. Man is just the agent for God. They're his representatives, you see, to speak through his word through them and to bring it back, as it says in Ephesians 5. He gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, you see. So that's what he placed them in. And remember the scriptures that he placed. Yeah, man didn't. Now there's men out there placing themselves today, and that gets into garbage too, you know. But when he placed it, look out, you see. All right? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers, pleasure, mortal lovers, God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, different lusts, many different, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now think of those things. As I said, it's a terrible setting for a person to be in humility and listen to the word and do what the word says to do. Such a poor setting for that. But our Lord Jesus Christ turned that around to where there would be a place and a setting for a people that would be in humility under the word of God. And whatever it would say, yes, my Lord. Didn't our Lord Jesus Christ himself, in the very time of about to be crucified, let it be to me according to thy will, O God. Right at the time and a situation, friends, when they was going to hang him on a cross. Yeah. And he knew he had the power to destroy the whole human race around him. Yeah. But if he would have, there wouldn't have been no blood for us right now. But thank God for his blood and his mercy and his grace. So he had you on your mind. He had you on his mind when he was doing that. He knew that he had to go to the cross to pay for our sins. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so appreciative of it. What would have happened if he wouldn't have had control and been led and had God living in his life and him be the preeminence of Christ and God together being there and fulfilling the word of God that had to be fulfilled for us? What would we have done? Oh my. Hebrews 12. Now, if you want to read with me, Hebrews 12, and begin here at the fifth verse. Now, listen to what he's going to say. Please. Because the way children have been raised in these last days, well, they don't like correction either. Oh, if they don't like showing themselves. If they don't like showing their disapproval. You know, it's back when I was talking about when I was a kid, you know, if parents correct their children back then and you throw it a little fit because you got corrected, you got her again. And you got her until you couldn't throw a fit. You say, oh, that's mean. No, it ain't mean. That's bringing a child up in the way it should go, friends. Oh, my. But we got this lovey-dovey stuff today. It just makes God sick to his stomach. You see? And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. And sometimes it ain't easy when we get chastened of the word. Oh my, it's not too easy. Nor faint, or don't give up, when thou art rebuked of him. I'm going to tell you, you serve God, you're going to get rebuked. Amen. I don't care where you start out in life. You start out with Christ, you're going to get chastened. That's all there is to it. You see? For whom the Lord loveth, there's the secret. For whom the Lord loveth. And you take any parent that really loves their child, they're going to chasten them children. Because they know they will not grow up to please God. There'll be an indebtedness inside to society. There'll be something that's just nothing but a mess, you see. Oh my. For who the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. Now chasteneth there, look it up in the Greek, it says to train or to instruct or correct. Because there's many things in our life, saints. Oh, there's times that I get corrected by the word. Yeah. The word comes along and shows me, oh, don't do that. And the word corrects me. I'm going to tell you, if you're a son of God, you ain't going to be without correction sitting here today. No way. You are going to get corrected. That's just all there is to it. Now, if you don't like correction, you want to be like the old goat, you want to be like this modern day children, you're never going to make it, friends. Never. And guess what? You're going to grow up and you're going to be the sloppiest looking thing on earth. Your life is going to be shambles and you're going to just look like nothing but trash itself. You see? But you let the word of God chasten you and get you cleaned up. Oh, my, it's cleaned me up many a times, friends. But thank God on the inside there was something there, Lord. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. I want to be more like you, Lord. Whatever it takes, you know. But you take them children today, oh, my, they don't like that. They get smacked the first time on the rear, and then they get to fussing, and then they get mad, and they get all upset, and then they're ready to just scream and just show a little fit. That's when you lay it on there again. Yeah. And one time you let it go, they'll do it again. Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. Honestly, it's amazing. Here the human race and makes all this aircraft and space shuttles and battleships and all these intelligent devices, and they can't correct the child. They're not smart enough to do it. It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, it's just, how could a human race be so ignorant? But it's so ignorant without Jesus Christ. You see? He says here, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's what I say, you're not going to get out of it. This word is going to cut you to pieces to get you right. It's cut me to pieces many times. Is there anybody sitting there that ain't been cut to pieces by the word? Well, I'm sure there ain't. I'm sure we've all been cut to pieces by the word, you see. But Lord, give me more. Give me more. That's what the grace God give you in your heart to want it and desire it, you see. Amen. Many don't want that. They don't want nothing to do with that kind of chastisement. No way. They're this modern day children that's being raised, you see. If you endure chastening, all if you can endure, it shows it's going to get rough. If you can endure it, yeah. God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Oh. But if he be without chastisement, without correction, without instruction, without correction, you see. Whereof all are partakers, so none of us going to get out of it. Then are you bastards and not sons. Oh. Amen. Illegitimate. Have no heavenly father. You see. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Yeah, I think when I got my last whipping at 15, friends, I'd make sure I'd give them reverence to pops there. Yeah, I got a lick in it still, never forget. Yeah. He says, your dad do that? You mean he was able to move like that one time? Yeah, one time he was able to. He couldn't catch me now. Amen. But I give him reverence, you see. I respect him. I know he still couldn't catch me. I'm glad he's my buddy. But I respect him. I really do. And that's what made me respect my parents, you see. I mean, but you watch children that hasn't had that chastisement, and you watch how disrespectful they are. I mean, they just... And when they grow older, it pops up. Yeah. They'll talk back and they'll try to belittle and they'll try this, that, and the other. And it shows up even when they're older, you see. Shows they wasn't corrected, right? No. And it's the same way with us in Christ. It'll show when you ain't had correction. Well, you think a lot of these people, I'm not saying all, but a lot of these people in churches today, why they're into what they're doing, they haven't had that correction. No. They haven't had the word of God preached to them and showed them they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do that, you know. So they just go on and live any old way they want to, you know. And sure enough, all you see is flesh and carnality, you see. All right. He says, Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Oh, subjection. Yes. He does us do something, we do it. That's subjection. You see? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Oh, yes. That we might be partakers. We spoke a little bit on this Thursday night. Of his holiness. Partakers of his holiness. My. Now, no chastening for the present time seemed to be joyous. I remember many times, friend, I'd be sitting there listening to the Word of God, and you just feel like crawling underneath the bench. You know, you wish you had never ever was seen in life. Think, how could I make it, and how am I going to make it through this, you know? My, I'm exposed, and I'm this, that, and the other, and oh, my, I look like trash, and I look like filth, and everything. But there's one thing about it, as an experience of knowing, that after it's all done, and then it's all cleaned up, oh, it's so joyous. It's just such a good feeling you got that out of your life now. And it's all taken care of, and you ain't going back to it for nothing. No way. You don't want nothing to do with it now. Because by his mercy and grace, he changes the desire in your heart. You see? Now, no chastening for the present time seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Oh, it sure does. Absolutely. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Oh, my. You want to feel that peacefulness and that joy? Let the Word of God clean you out good. And there's something about it. Oh, my, I'm so thankful the Lord showed me the truth. I'm so thankful he brought me out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock to stay. Oh, thank God for salvation. The joy of our salvation that just makes us so happy and free. Knowing that he pulled us out of that. What a good feeling it is. Amen. All right. Ephesians 2. Let's read this quickly. I'm running out of time. I'm not even getting close to where I want to go. Let's read Ephesians 2. Maybe follow along with me quickly, and we'll try to go through as much as we can for this morning. Ephesians 2, in the first verse. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, my. Quickened what? By his Holy Spirit. All right. Received a new birth. Wherein times pass, thank God that there's a thing you can now see in the times past, not still going on, but times pass. Ye walked according to the course of this world. Oh my, we talked about some of those things that's in the course of this world, as we read in 2 Timothy. According to the prince of the power of the air. Yeah, look how Satan's controlling all this garbage out here today. My. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You mean there's a spirit going throughout the land causing people to do it? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. I'm so thankful it's in the past. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Oh, it was a terrible thing. Terrible thing, the way it used to be. But he's shown us here there's a place to be free from that. Oh my. Fulfilling desires of flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That's before that new birth. All right? Even as others. Just think. You can think of people you maybe growed up around. You associated with and all these different things that went on, and you can see the path that they're on. And you can remember the time he brought you out of that path. And when sometimes we look back and you think, how did that happen? And it's so amazing. You think, how did that take place? You know? And you think, when you really think about it, you had nothing to do with it.
Amen.
No. The footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. And it's so good to see how God can bring you away from that path. And you may think, well, you know, Why would I go here? And why am I doing this? And why do I want to read the Bible now? And why do I want to listen to the Word of God now? It wasn't you that made it that way. It was Him that placed it inside of you to desire that and want to read the Scripture, want to listen, want to come to church, want to listen to these things. You come here today, at least I hope all of you did, because you wanted to be here. I hope nobody drug you in. Did anybody drag anybody in today? There might be some of you children, I don't know, hopefully not. But I'm just saying, hopefully, at least of you adults and younger people, hope nobody had to drag you in here today. But you came by desire. Because you want to know, you want to learn, you want to be taught, you want to understand the things of God. You want to know you have eternal life. You want to know you have at peace in the time of trouble. Because there's a lot of troubles going on, friends. But oh my, there's nothing like that peace in the time of trouble. In the midst of the storm, when the storm is just raging and pouring down on you and beating on you, and lightning and thunder and just hammering against you, yet there's that peace in the time of trouble. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, thank you, Lord. For His great love. I'm going to tell you, that's a great love. To bring us out of the miry clay. To bring us out and knowing we were steeped in sin and just a mess. But oh, thank God for His mercy and grace. You know, the prophet mentioned about that little lily, pond lily. You know, here that little pond lily, that little seed was laying down, that little germ of life, that little bulb was laying down in that old mucky pond. And it went down in there, you know, in the wintertime. And it's just, I mean, muck all over it. I'm sure probably many of you have been in old mucky ponds. You know, baptized people in mucky ponds. You step into them, you're up to your ankles like that muck and mire. And you go out there and you here in that muck and mire, all that slime. I mean, it's just black looking. And sometimes it just looks so horrible. And if you get it on your hands, it's just slimy. What a mess, you know. Just terrible. But yet when the right conditions come and the air begin to warm up and all the conditions begin to get just right and the water begin to warm, there's something about that germ of life that was laying down in there. It begins to come up through all that muck. Oh, yes, it just comes right up through that. And you know what? When it hits the top of that water, guess what? It turned into something beautiful. And friends, when we're in this muck of this world and all the filth, and before Christ came in our life, we look like a really bad mess. But that don't mean you can't be fixed. Because I'm going to tell you what, everybody right now, singer's got the new birth, you've been fixed. Oh my, and God's mercy and grace has fixed you. And now you're giving forth His glory and array and shining forth for His glory and His honor, you see. But it looked hopeless. I had to step in that pond and look at all that muck and mire and everything. Oh, it's impossible. There's no way there's any life down there. There's no way. But one thing about it, He knows where life's at. And He's got a way to fix things up just right, to get the right person to come in your path. Yeah. Maybe have the right person maybe on the street talk to you. Yeah. Tell you about the Word of God, mention about the message of the hour, this, that, or whatever it may be. And God has a way to work everything out, to make every situation come out to what He done predestinated it to be. But oh, thank God when you find out you was one of them predestinated ones. Thank God for His mercy and His grace, you see. So He's talking, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love. That was a great love that brought me out of that old mucky pond, friends. A great love. Oh my. Wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, our life was a mess, friends. And as I mentioned last week, think about it again. That little adulteress, they grabbed her and throwed her on the ground and ready to stone her. Of all people, we'd think, because that's what all them Pharisees and Sadducees thought, them great people, you know, that know the word for that time so far, is what they thought. And they thought, oh my, the Moses law says to stone her. Now, what do you got to say about this, Lord Jesus? What do you got to say about this? Come on, now let's see if you keep the law of Moses. Now, come on. But see, grace was entering in. And we find out it was altogether different, as we talked about last week. Though she was steeped in that mucky state, the husband, she might have had many husbands. The other one did. But this one was caught in an act of adultery. you know, and committing the act. She was caught in it and thrown down there to kill. And Jesus so calmly told the rest of them that he that is among you without sin, I want you to think about every one of you sitting there. You want to cast stones at people? Let he that among you without sin, at one time in your life you didn't have sin. I'm going to tell you what, every one of us, we was all born in sin, shape, and iniquity. We all come in this world lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it may. But God, rich in mercy, oh my, he brought us up out of that miry clay. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Sin no more. Oh my, how could you ever do anything against him then? Oh my, how could you go against it? When you know he's truly forgiven your sins, as a sister saying. That's why we should be so happy. To think our sins is gone. He washed my sins away. I had many. I'd done many things wrong in life. And so did you. That's why there's no big me's, big I's or you's sitting here today. We are all saved by the grace of God. I'm so thankful for that. Even when we're dead in sins, I quicken us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh my. Now I'll start on this and close. Maybe some other time we'll pick it up. This is in Colossians 1, 25. And we'll close on this one. Give you something else to think about. Colossians 1, 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you. To fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. You see, it was hid for a long time, but God made a way. He would open it up and reveal it. Reveal what? Open what up? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, or Gentiles, friends, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Whom we preach warning, every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom. My. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, Paul said. Amen. Thank God for his grace and mercy. Won't you, sisters, come to the instruments, please? He brought me out, friends, of the miry clay. Set my feet on a rock to stay. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Say, what's wrong, Brother Steve? The word of God touch you? Yeah, it always does. Yeah. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. Page 89 in your bigger books there. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? Oh, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. And then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me upon the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet. feet. With joy I'll cast my golden crown, oh hallelujah, and his dear name repeat. Oh, precious cross, oh glorious crown, yes, oh resurrection day. Ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. First verse, one more time. Must Jesus bear the cross alone, oh my, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Come on up, Brother Timothy, dismiss us. Oh, must Jesus bear the cross alone, oh, hallelujah, and all the world go free, yes, amen. No, there's a cross for everyone,
amen, and there's a cross for me. Take up our cross and follow him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus, Footprints of Jesus. Amen.
Footprints of Jesus leading the
heads. Lord, we're just so thankful for another opportunity that we've been given, Lord, to come together. Yes. And Lord, to hear your precious word. And oh, Lord, to feel it strike a chord in our hearts. Yes. And Lord, we just humbly ask that we would be as those little children, as our pastor was speaking this morning. That Lord, we would humbly follow you. And Lord, whatever you would show us, Lord, that needs to be shaved from our lives, Lord, or something that we're doing that's unlike you, Lord, may we just lay ourselves open and say, Lord, lead me and guide me. Lord, help us to follow you in everything. And Lord, to let that sweet Holy Spirit have the preeminence in our lives. Lord, we thank you for this service. We pray you'll bless each and every one that's been able to be here. And Lord, we just want to continue to remember Brother Geisinger this morning, Lord, and Sister Marilyn, Lord, just upholding them before you in prayer. Let them know we love them and appreciate them. And Lord, that little bride, wherever she may be gathered all over the earth, Lord, that you would strengthen her, encourage her. And Lord, continue to help each one of us, wherever we are, Lord, to keep pressing and climbing on that ladder, that, Lord, we would soon be leaving this old world. And we ask it all to your glory and to your honor, Lord, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Amen. Just got to sing it before we go. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. And I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, amen. Oh, glory, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I just feel his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Glory.
Just thank him for his mercy and his grace. Amen. He is so good. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We'll go. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full. Richly bless you. You're dismissed.